I love the audible breath. This just makes my day. I love the little lightheadedness that I feel. So I like to do that. You know, I'm born in, you know, when I'm born. So that works out for me.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Joe, Dr. Energy Piazza.
Rara is in the house. Catherine Asaro Myers.
Welcome back to BU Network Podcast, Conversations Worth Having. On our podcast, you can expect three things. One, the BU guest moment. Two, the BU moment. And three, the BU final moment.
As promised, we are giving you a very special audible on each show. Your job, well, not your job, it's to find it. You know the game Where's Waldo? Well, here we will ask you to listen for that audible. Here we are at our BU moment, Dr. Energy.
Yes, yet again. Can't wait.
You know what I really like? I'm looking out the window and I'm seeing, is it possible, like, it's a red tree because I see green and a beautiful burgundy tree. And then I also see this other tree that has this other color. And I'm thinking, it's way too early in the summer, but looking at treetops is fascinating.
Why is that?
I love watching nature. And when we moved into this property, it was beautiful. The grounds are beautiful. And then 4 days later, grass grew 4 feet tall. And then the next thing I knew, this catalpa tree had these orchid-like flowers falling, blossoming, and then falling off of it. It was like, what is this, an orchid tree? And every time I look out the window, especially from this perspective, I see different things, and the trees are fuller, and it's amazing to watch the growth of the plantation.
Yes.
You know, and today we have that sort of fitting right into what we're doing with our topic. But let's, would you like to go first? Would you like us to talk about where you are at in your BU moment?
Sure. I'll go first.
Okay, awesome.
It's a beautiful, beautiful summer day here in Ottawa. The humidity has dropped significantly, and it was actually a nice sleeping weather last night. I was actually able to get a really nice night's sleep. And like you, I have a tree right outside my window, and the same thing. I love watching it, especially when there's a bit of a breeze going, and the really tall trees, you know, how when they start to sway. And I remember, do you remember the movie, what was it called? Phenomenon with John Travolta?
No, I don't know that.
Did you see that one? I won't give away the movie, but he develops these psychic powers, if you will. And there's this one scene where he's talking about connecting to nature and to everything that's going on, the energy of what's going on around us. And he's working with his girlfriend and just to connect to and feel the trees. And they're standing out in this meadow, and the trees are just swaying. And I love, that's one of my favorite things, to go out into the forest. And we have the Gatineau Forest here in the Ottawa area, and just stand still and let myself connect with the trees, and I find myself all of a sudden just starting to sway with them. And just that, such a deep feeling of connection with nature and the world and what's going on. It's just, I love doing that.
You know, you talk about being connected to nature and being grounded, so to speak, and our episode today is truly about being grounded.
And maybe even a little bit underground.
There is nothing more grounding than what we will be discussing with Kathy today. I mean, nothing. Maybe there are things that are more grounding, but extremely, as far as our episodes have gone to date, 45, 46, but under a little under 50 episodes, this is probably the closest to Earth that we've gotten. Does that make sense?
I would say between this and the day of pause, I think we definitely connecting with rhythms, with taking the time to, like you say, ground and get connected. Yes.
Right, because we've had episodes that have gone up to the esoteric aspect as well. Mm-hmm. So we've gone from, you know, way up into the universe and the stars and the skies to day of pause to what we're doing, which is extremely grounding today.
Heaven and earth, as they say.
Oh, look at that. We've covered all bases. Geographically, we can really go anywhere.
Anytime we want.
I love that. I totally love that. This is great.
And how about you? What else are you noticing today?
Oh, well, I got all dressed up in a nice blue dress today because I thought that would make me smile and project my energy.
Wait, hold on a second. Did you say blue dress?
Yeah, blue.
Blue, not black.
No, it's dark blue. It's navy.
Awesome.
Yeah,
because I know how much you love black.
I know. I searched because I do have. I love black, in every shade and every color. So it's dark navy blue to go with my new hair. And,
yes.
Yeah, I thought I'd just. Oh gosh, feel so much better. I'm feeling fantastic today for so many reasons because I managed to get to this awesome, awesome woman. Oh my gosh, Giada, who's just Giada. Who's here, I've now put my hair in her hands. I will not worry about that anymore. So I chose this navy blue dress. I'm here in my bridge room. You know, I haven't mentioned my 10-pound dumbbell because now what I'm doing is I'm using my elastics, I guess you would call it, you know, the bands.
Bands.
Right. So I find that easier up here instead of carrying the dumbbell up two flights of stairs and down and whatever. So I use my elastics and I'm really working on this deep breathing. So I love the audible breath. This just makes my day. I love the little lightheadedness that I feel. So I like to do that. You know, I'm born in, you know, when I'm born. So that works out for me. So I do like to have my voice prepared. I'm in the bridge room looking out the window. It's a gorgeous day. I feel that I got myself all prettied up for us today. And I'm just excited. I'm looking at my beautiful globe. I have this new addition to our desk here in the bridge room by Ole Cassini, as a matter of fact. And
very nice.
It's a globe and it's to represent that our podcast has listeners all over the world and that we're reaching people all over the world. So I'm manifesting that. You know, recently I've done a vision board and in the place of business, in addition to, you know, the bridge and gratitude girls, I have the word podcast right there where career is. So I'm really manifesting at a very fast rate. I have the eagle for send out cards in front of me. I feel that this is just the time, the right time of year. I feel today is a great day. I'm infusing lemon oil, which is really very uplifting. And I'm drinking my lemon turmeric ginger tincture, which is, to me, it's my inner gold that just makes me feel fantastic. And it's nowhere near my keyboard or laptop, so I'm not going to fling that cup anywhere nearby any electronics. And I love what we're talking about, you know, offline, how we're going to improve, you know, our sound and everything that we're doing. So it's great. I mean, it's fantastic. This has been an amazing day so far.
Yes. It's, you know, like you said, with the oils, I don't have any oils going, but I have been burning some white sage. And just, again, that helps me ground and helps me feel connected, you know, the smell of sage and it just reminds me of being in the forest. So when I can't actually be in the forest or out in nature, you know, bringing the nature indoors is just really, really helpful for me.
Well, you know what I was looking at the other day, plants, because, you know, just after the retrograde, I was up to 4:30 in the morning, but I was looking at plants to put in the room to help get rid of the toxic air, maybe. So one of the plants, it's called the snake plant or the mother-in-law tongue. The other plant is aloe. The other is peace lily, and the other is rubber plant. Now, if you put these four plants where you sleep, I will have them all on the second floor, because not that I sleep in every room, but I have an aloe right in our bedroom, and then in my bridge room I have what I call the mother-in-law tongue, and mm-hmm. I bring the aloe back and forth and have aloe on the first floor. I was thinking if I put, and it cleans the air, and I yes. now I understand why this room, the bridge room, has a different, just the crystals and the oils yep. and the incense and the Palo Santo, but the plants bring this purification yes. to the room. And I love that we record in this room, right? This is where I do all my work, and it's uplifting because I've helped clear the air and purify it with these plants. So if you're looking into that, maybe you want to put those in the room where you spend the most mm-hmm. time and see if that does anything. And I'm convinced it's true. Like yes. I read it, but I've tested it and I believe it.
I have many plants. In fact, I have two peace lilies in my living mm-hmm. room as well. I'm in a two-bedroom apartment. So, but I have been looking. I have a couple of planter pots that need some new plants. So I've been looking at the same thing, which the plants that clean the air. So I'd like to bring a little more diversity. You know, the peace lilies are beautiful, but you know, a couple of aloe plants or a rubber plant might be nice
right,
too.
Right, right. And that mother-in-law, that snake plant, it mm-hmm. grows no matter what. It grows in the yes. shade and this, you know, it doesn't matter what you do with it. And I brought mine here and I put it in cross window, some sunlight. Right. And instead of going just up, it went out.
Out.
So the two windows are calling these leaves, well, not leaves, they're like thick, to not just go up, but it's spreading. It's amazing what the sun, what the earth, what the earth, heaven and earth will do yes. to the plants around us.
It's incredible. They, you know, they had this, they naturally seek the light, right? They turn, mm-hmm. and you can see in your plant, if you leave it one position long enough, eventually mm-hmm. all the plants, and it'll even start to lean towards the sunlight. And so what I tend to do is turn it
right
every so often, just so that the plant gets the proper amount of light. And the other interesting thing that science is starting to show is that trees in a forest actually communicate with each other. The roots mm. of the trees are actually in contact with each other, and they share some sort of I don't know if it's electrical, chemical, I'd have to do some more research into it, but some sort of, they do have a communication system that they know that they can communicate with each other. Like if there's predators like weevils, not mm-hmm. weevils, sorry, what do they call them again? It's a big problem out in the West Coast. It's a beetle of some sort that bores into the and eventually kills the tree because they attack the, but the trees actually, what they do is when the beetle starts to attack the bark, they start to exude mm-hmm. more tree sap because it basically suffocates the beetle. So the right. trees actually have this defense. And when the roots are in contact with each other, they're sharing this information. So they start to produce more sap to start to love proactively that. Protect themselves before the beetles even get there. It's just incredible.
You know, I love knowing how, you know, we look at a plant and some people think it's a plant, but you know, I don't. Right. I think it's more. And when you just talked about the sun, and when you put a plant like I have in this room, this cross, these windows that are across from each other, the plant just goes both ways.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't have a chance. I have yet to see it lean because it's spreading.
Going in
it's
both directions. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's so fantastic. And I didn't see that before in our other home because it was one wall of window.
Right.
So all of these plants have, they look different. They've taken on different shapes and forms in this house. They actually are spreading our, I don't know if you, well, there are some different types of plants. Mm-hmm. I was going to name different ones, but just the way that the leaves are. So before they were growing, like you said, towards one side. Now right. I put some in the living room and they're spreading. The leaves are up and out. It looks like it looks like I fed them, which I still have to do, but I did. I fed them some more sun.
All right. And wait till you feed them some amazing,
I know,
compost.
Whoa. What we're going to talk about today, yes. leading right into that, you know, what we're doing today with Kathy is just going to transform the life of everything that can benefit, including our life, because yes. we will benefit from the nutrients as do the plants and the trees mm-hmm. and the earth and the worms. I'm so excited to like really get over my ickiness feeling after this episode. I really did. I lost it. I left it behind me. So I'm no longer afraid of those icky things that I used to think were going to hurt me, but now I know they're not. I don't know when I'll hold one yet, but I'm certainly going to invite them into our home and get a little condo tower for them.
Right. Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah, so
me too. Let's go over there and let's speak to Kathy and laugh with her and hear about her relationship with worms that have five hearts.
With worms. All right. We'll see you on the other side.
All right. Let's worm over there. Be you, study.
Be more at ease in your communication so you too can have conversations worth having. What is BU Study? A private online room to rehearse impromptu speaking, receive instant feedback and achieve quick results, and feel confident that no one is laughing, unless you're telling a joke.
Plug in anytime, anywhere. Study with seasoned pros. Access your customized feedback. Then speak with ease and build amazing relationships. Hi, Dr. Energy.
Hello.
So I like what we did this morning. I like how we can just step right into our new nicknames today. That was pretty funny. You know, I love your Dr. Energy, and there's no two ways about it, no matter where we go. And then today it dawned on me that I'm a bit of a control person, in case you haven't noticed.
I've never noticed that.
It's like I say something and then I want to double check it, triple check it, and then make sure what I said is what I did, but yet I can take action fast. It's really funny in my world. So I appreciate that you can laugh right along with me in my controlling ways.
Well, you know, we all have different elements of that. I definitely have some of that in my blood, as it were, as well. So I can, you know, it takes one to know one. So.
And you know what? I really like to know that I can communicate clearly and concisely. I think most of my reason for wanting to be so close is, what if I have something to say? Like, what if you need me? What if there's something you want to tell me? So I want to make sure that I'm not missing anything. You know, I'm that early adopter. I have to get up before the birds, or I have to get up with the birds. I don't know. Sometimes it's before the birds. And I want to be right there listening to what they have to say, as we were speaking about before this episode went live, right? Because we have a lot to say today, not only about birds, but about worms.
And laughter.
And laughter. Like, really, who would have thought that we would have in the same podcast discussions about worms and laughter?
It seems an odd combination, but I know that Kathy makes it work, and work in a big way. So I'm really excited about this.
It is amazing. And who would have thought that 10, 12, gosh, 13 years ago, you know, when I met Kathy, that this is where we would be today. It's just so amazing. I was always mesmerized by what she did. And I remember thinking, she's so brave, because for me, that is just a major, major thing to be able to do. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you a question.
Yes.
What is your relationship with worms at this moment?
Oh, that's a good question. To be honest, I would say that at the moment, I know, you know, a fair bit about worms, and I've gone fishing using worms before, and when I was a kid, and that's pretty much about it right at the moment.
Well, I'm glad that you've thought about it to that point, because the other day, my husband said to me, "We need worms." Now, he has no idea who was going to be on our podcast. And I said, "Well, what do you mean we need worms?" And he said, "Well, we need them." And I said, "All right. And what do you want to do about that?" And he said, "Well, we need the composting and we need the worms, because there's no way this is going to work without them." And I said, "Well, can you organize a house for them over there?" And he said, "Well, we have to do something." And then here we are with Kathy. And I'm thinking, doesn't the student show up when the teacher's ready, or vice versa? Yes. The teacher shows up when the student is ready. And here we are. We talk about everything after 34 years. You know, we only know. And who knew we were going to speak about worms this week? And here's Kathy. So talk about divine timing.
Yes.
We need help to discuss this conversation.
Trust the process. The universe always provides.
Doesn't it? Well, I'm really excited, and we're so blessed today to have Kathy with us. I'd like to share some information about her, if that's
okay. Absolutely.
All right, awesome. I'll read a little bit and then I'll talk about Kathy a little bit. Mm-hmm. So Kathy has a company and they offer solutions for today's challenges. Worm composting for amending the soil, and sprouts for eating, and laughter for overall health and wellness. And now OrganoGold, Reiki mushroom infused coffee and tea. Vermicomposting is a great way to make the world's best soil. There's info from my husband. Discover how worms convert organic matter into nature's finest soil amendment, known as castings. Worms are going to play an ever-increasing role in waste management, soil production, and therefore food security. I love all of those things. Seems like worms have such an important role. They really do. Sprouts are considered nature's superfood. Grow sprouts at home, school, work. Laughter Wellness is our latest offering. It's Kathy's latest offering. Discover the magic of laughing for no reason. I wonder if that has anything to do with the mushroom connection. All right, okay. Let me go into Kathy's
That's a
bio.
Different kind of mushroom.
Okay, I wasn't sure here. I'm just making sure that we hit all aspects of laughter. Yeah. Kathy Nesbitt is a worm advocate and founder of Kathy's Crawley Composters since 2002. This environmental business specializes in vermicomposting. Laughter Wellness is Kathy's latest offering. Kathy is a certified laughter yoga teacher. Worms, sprouts, laughter, and now OrganoGold. It's funny that this all seems like it's going to come together. Kathy, welcome to BU Network podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Excellent.
We're thrilled. We're thrilled to have you here.
Yes, yes.
Kathy, I want to ask you a question because I know that our audience is thinking about this. How could you possibly have gotten into making worms a business?
That's a great question. And I love that your husband was talking about worms this week. That's awesome.
I knew you would. We need to connect you two.
That's awesome. So, it's really interesting how things go along. I mean, I was afraid of worms before starting my business. Not right before. Like, what am I afraid of? I'll start a business in that. When I moved up to Bradford from Toronto in 93, as an avid gardener and composter, I couldn't wait to start composting. And then I would take a bucket on the GO train to collect my coworkers' lunchroom scraps. 93, they thought I was cuckoo.
Oh, for sure.
So the more you put in your compost, the more you get out, the better your garden grows naturally. So that was naturally composting. And then a teacher friend asked me to look after her worm bin for the summer. She was going away. I was actually afraid of worms. Like, they were gross. I didn't, icky. I didn't want them in my house, for sure not. But I was like, okay, I know the value of the worm compost. So I took on the challenge because I think in life we should try things first. But, people say, oh, you won't like that. Good. Thanks for saving me the time. Right? So I took on the challenge. It was horrible. It was a disaster. And it was a great lesson. And at the end of that summer, I kept the worms alive. Everything was fine. I just didn't want to have worms in my house. And I was like, I'm never doing this again. Never say never. Now I'm a worm farmer, you never know. So what happened? So then 2002, the landfill for Toronto closed and we started shipping garbage to Michigan.
Right.
Right. 200 garbage trucks every day making their way to the United States from Canada. Like, shame on us for shipping our garbage out of the country. Double shame on the Americans for accepting our garbage for cash. Right. I mean, it just wasn't a great solution. Let's say that.
It's the ultimate in the breakdown or of consumerism, right? I mean, it's the ultimate symptom of consumerism, right?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Just about cash, like trading something for something. And yeah bad. Anyway, 6 million people at that time in the greater Toronto area, half living in condos, townhouses, without outdoor space for my business is pre-grain bin. So when the landfill closed, Toronto was looking for another way to manage the organic matter. And then the green bin was invented or created, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, so that's sort of how it began. I had the idea, you know, a business is just having a solution to a problem.
Right.
And we had a big problem. I mean, it still is a big problem. And I started my business as a waste management tool. And once I got into my business, I realized, oh my gosh, the worms convert this kind of garbage in air quotes into black gold for gardening. So twofold. So waste management, sure, one benefit. The really greater benefit is the wonderful soil that the worms create. Our soil is depleted. Our food is nutrient deficit. You know, it's not, I'm not saying anything new.
Right.
So this is a wonderful way to add the nutrients back into the soil so we can grow more nutrient-rich food.
Well, my husband is going to love that you're saying this. So, Kathy, how did you overcome the ickiness of the worms?
Yeah,
thank you. So, okay, so then I got a job at a group home. They had 10 homes and a farm, and they didn't compost. Yet they had a vocational program, a farm, where the clients would come and do different chores during the day.
Right.
A greenhouse was one of them. So I approached them and I said, why don't you compost? And their response was, we don't need the fertilizer because we have cows. Right. So they had cow manure. Right. So I said, wow, it was the first time that I realized people don't connect what they're doing. So here they are creating all of this garbage that they're paying a lot of money to get rid of. And instead of that, if you don't need the fertilizer, you can just make the compost and then sell it as a business.
Right.
So I said, why don't you create a composting program? And then at that moment, the greenhouse manager said, hey, why don't we do worm composting? So remember my disaster with the teacher's bin. Right? Have you ever done something and you're like, thought it was going to work out a certain way and then it didn't. So right. You're like, I'm never doing that again.
Right.
But then, you know, down the road, somebody says, hey, why don't we, whatever it was that didn't work for you. And you get that feeling in your stomach, like, oh no, that didn't work out. I don't want to do that again.
I don't want to feel that again.
I was like, oh no, not the worms again. I don't want to do that. But then I was like, wait a minute. This is an institution. They're not going to get worms tomorrow. So let me do some research. I took to the internet. I started researching worms and composting. And I really discovered the magic of the red wiggler worm. You know, fear, as you know, is just the unknown. Like, what do we think is going to happen, right? I do a lot of school workshops. And I say to the kids, you know, fear is the unknown. So if we're afraid of the dark and we turn the lights out, we don't know what's going to happen. So we're afraid. It's the same with the worms. We don't know what they're going to do. Are they going to get out of the bin? Are they going to, you know, what are they going to do?
Right.
So, so once I started to research the worms, I discovered the magic. Worms have 5 hearts each. Wow.
I remember that from high school biology.
Right. Yeah, they turn garbage into gold. They live up to 10 years. A group of worms is called a squirm. I mean, they're just like, there's so many amazing ways. There's so many lessons. So my fear went from like, ooh, like gross, to wow, we need these creatures.
Right.
And during my research, I heard or learned that a pound of worms and their descendants could transform a ton of organic waste in a year. And that the average Canadian family produces a ton of organic waste in a year. And I thought, wow, every family needs a pound of worms. And I'm just the one to put a pound of worms in every house.
That's awesome. And it's funny, you mentioned that it's the red wiggler worm. And I remember, and I'm going to date myself here a little bit. Mm-hmm. If anybody remembers the television show WKRP in Cincinnati back in the 80s. And they had one of the sponsors for the radio station was a fishing shop. And their jingle was Red Wigglers. Red Wigglers, the Cadillac of worms. Beep, beep. So it just made, when you said red wigglers, it took me instantly back there and that show. So I just wanted to share that.
See, I remember the show, but I didn't remember that.
It was on several episodes. It was kind of their big sponsor. Mr. Carlson, who ran the radio station, was the big guy who was really into fishing and stuff. So it was a lot of fun.
So Kathy, just to go over like this one other little part, do you touch them?
Do I touch them? Yes, imagine. That's hilarious. Again, back to the school workshops, I say to the kids, because I have a picture of a pound of worms. A pound of worms, there's 800 to 1,000 worms in a pound. Wow. So I hold up my picture with a pound of worms, and then they say, oh, whose hands are they? And I say, they're mine. And they're like, oh, aren't you afraid? And then I say, imagine if I was a carrot farmer and I was afraid of my carrots. Mm. How would I harvest them? So I did overcome my fear of worms. And then, you know, when I do my school workshops, if the school, if the classroom is getting a worm bin, then at the end of the presentation, the students set up the bedding, and then the grand finale is adding the worms. Some of the students are afraid, but then once they hold them, you know, then they get connected to them, and that is my goal. If we're connected to something, we don't want to hurt it. So next time when there's a rain and the worms are on the sidewalk, those children can now help those worms back to the grass.
Right. Mm. It's so important to for us to remember and be connected to, you know, life and to nature, to our resources, and where our food comes from, and the chain of the food production. It's so important to remember that and stay connected to it, because it creates a better awareness and people making different decisions than if we just forget about where all that stuff comes from.
Absolutely. Yes. It's so beautiful. It's magic actually watching people when they're afraid. Sometimes it's the teachers or, you know, one of the adults in the room. Right. And then I say, would you like to overcome your fear today? And then they're like, they're not sure. And I'm like, let me help you. So I'll put some worms in their hand. I, you know, I say they can't hurt us. They can't bite us. But they might just poop on you. It's good luck.
But that's the good stuff. Their poop is the good stuff.
Absolutely. My goodness. And then when I put the worms in their hand, you can see them. Like at first they're all tense. They're like really stressed. They're totally tight. And then they soften. They're like, it's not so bad. Oh, nothing happened. I'm still here.
I'm going to need a few therapy sessions for that.
But you don't have to touch them, Laura. You don't have to touch them.
Oh, good. Can I get into their heads and talk to them? Because that would be more my style.
Well, they don't like vibration, really. So, no.
So I can't speak to them through some other sense of like having a connection. It has to be touch.
It can be telepathic.
Okay, good. Then I'm all for that.
Worm telepathy. Is that wormopathy? I don't know how what you call it.
Would that be rah-rah-ology with worms?
That could work.
I love that. I want to have a connection. I really do. I know how important this is, especially since we live on this property and we're starting our farming and our gardening. And I know that by excluding worms, we're making a huge mistake. So we're not excluding them on purpose, but we need to make them an integral part, the sun, the water, the worms. It's just, it's the missing piece. And by having a missing piece, obviously you can't have a complete and successful plan. And worms are part, who would have thought? I'm from New York City. I'm from Brooklyn. Who would have thought that, you know, worms are something that I would be figuring out how to put into my life? I understand like cement and buildings and steel. This is something that's going on here, but this is amazing. What a transformation. And Kathy, for you to show up at this time like this. So let me ask you, for someone, let's talk about the business side for a second. So let's talk about, you have this business, and let's say I'm a newbie farmer. How do we actually start this? And then we'll talk about a larger business, how they get involved with it. How would somebody who's listening to this podcast say, okay, I'm going to roll up my sleeves and I'm going to get right into the worms? How do we do that?
So vermicomposting or worm composting is the same as outdoor composting, the same principle. You need carbon, nitrogen, so the browns and greens, papers, your carbon or leaves, straw, cardboard. The nitrogen is your food scraps and manures, green grass, green leaves, coffee grounds. Those are all your nitrogen. You need a combination of both. The worms need both. You add a little bit of soil. So the worms don't have teeth. So they require the microbes in this soil to break down the food. They're like the teeth for the worms. They do the pre-digesting. And then the worms kind of, they're the cleanup crew. So they come along and clean this up. So this is done inside, or can be, it can be outside too. Indoor composting. So this is a beautiful way for anyone that lives in condos, townhouses, anywhere without outdoor space to do outdoor composting or access to the green bin program. So you just would have some kind of a container. The worms live in the container with the bedding is the paper.
Right.
Then you feed them the food scraps. They eat everything, turn it into the soil. And then at a certain point you would harvest, which is separating the worms from the compost. It's about maybe 3 to 5 months. I do have a wonderful system made in Ontario called the Living Composter. It's a tower composter. So when one tray fills up, there's holes in the bottom of each tray. You set the new tray on top with the new bedding. The worms will follow the food. So they migrate up and leave behind their black gold. So you don't have to touch them. Then you would
take
that
one. Sign me up.
then you just take that tray out, fertilize your plants, step back while your plants explode, because the castings are plant food, like steroids.
Right.
It's exactly the form that the plants need to take up the nutrients.
Right. Because they need all the nitrogen and stuff too, right?
So. Yes.
So we could use this for indoor and outdoor gardening?
Yes, that's right.
Now, is there different plant food for, let's say, or fertilizer for succulents versus, let's say, roses versus all these different plants? Do they need different types of food?
Only if you're purchasing synthetic fertilizers. Then they specialize, like, oh, here's rose something, here's whatever. But if you're using compost is compost. And yes, there are better composts. Buyer beware. So make sure you make your own. The industry is not regulated, so you don't know what you're getting.
Right.
I would suggest that people steer clear of the free government compost that they give away, because it's filled with plastic bits and heavy metals. It's, they're kind of just looking for a way to get rid of the toxic waste that they're creating.
Right.
Okay. And I don't say that lightly. I say that in all sincerity.
Would you say then that we would get a container? Does the container, if we buy your tower, that's fantastic. But if someone wants to start, like right now, what type of container? Plastic?
A plastic container is fine. Then it's portable. It's easy. With plastic, you need to be careful that it doesn't get too wet. You could also build, if somebody was handy, you could create a wooden container, a wooden bin. Mm.
What about a wine barrel?
A wine barrel would be beautiful.
Empty though, Kathy.
Yes. That would be perfect, yes.
Here in Niagara-on-the-Lake, we have tipsy worms, but if we get the wine out of the barrel first, would that still be okay?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. So with a wooden container, you get beautiful castings. You need to be careful that the compost doesn't get too dry in a wooden vessel, because it will absorb some of the moisture.
Right.
Okay. And then how big do you recommend we start with a container?
I would say, the Rubbermaid totes or this recycling bin size?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, something that size is perfect.
Should it be covered, of course? I'm asking questions in case our audiences think, like, what are the questions they would
want? Yeah, absolutely. I used to think that the cover was a psychological barrier, because you do need to have holes in the bin, because the worms, it's aerobic process, meaning with oxygen.
Right.
So I used to think, yes, that the lid was a psychological barrier, because the worms can get out of any hole. They don't have any bones or anything. But the lid does serve to keep it dark. The worms don't like the light, so that will keep them active all time. It also helps retain the moisture as well.
Right.
Thank you for that.
To me, it just sounds like, I like building that kind of stuff, but I live in an apartment. So for me, it'd just be like, I'll buy the system and it's all done for me and I don't have to do anything.
You could come here and build it. You could come here and we could go through all that process and we can build it. And that way you can get all of that out. I don't want you to be inhibited that you can't do that. We would love that. When do you want to come back? So this is for, you know, the person who says today that they're listening or when they're listening to this podcast, okay, I want to get started. I can buy the tower. I can start it myself. Now, what about large companies that want to do this on a mass production level? Like, what do you recommend for them?
Yeah, so anything can be scaled up. My business model, really, I did focus on the individual. My goal is for every family, everybody, every business, every school, every classroom to have a worm bin. So everything can be scaled up. It does need to be managed because it's regular composting is a thermophilic or heating up process.
Right.
Worm composting is mesophilic, meaning even temperature. Okay. So once you add in your nitrogen and you get your carbon in there, it starts heating up. That's what you don't want. So doing it on a larger scale is a little bit more tricky on a municipal level because, you would have so much input. It's a little bit more tricky to manage on a larger scale.
Right.
So possible. Anything's possible. That isn't my focus for my business. I'm selling worms by the pound. It's maybe not the most brilliant business model, but 18 years and I'm still standing.
Okay, so
still burrowing.
Still burrowing. I love that.
So what does that mean? Okay, you just said something. I'm thinking, what does that mean? So we create the compost and then we buy the worms by the pound to put the worms in the compost. And how many pounds of worms do we need for how large a bin?
So if you have back to the recycling bin size, you could have either a pound or half a pound. The guideline is a pound of worms per square foot of surface maximum. You wouldn't start with the maximum amount because they do have a phenomenal reproduction as well. So they're going to, they will reproduce to fill their space based on available space and food.
Okay. So half a pound of worms, right?
Half a pound would be fine. Yeah.
So in a recycling bin, sorry.
So it depends on basically on how much waste, organic waste you're producing in your space, right? Really,
yes.
The bin size that you're gonna want.
Correct. The worms will eat about half their weight per day in food scraps once they're established.
Okay.
So if you had a pound of worms, you'd be looking at 3 to 4 pounds of food waste per week.
Oh, per week. So then when you say the green bin, are you talking about the tall, thin green bin?
Yes.
So we could use that bin to produce the compost and put the worms in?
That's the collection container. So that's not the optimum like system. The worms are surface dwellers. So rather than a tall container, better to have a horizontal container.
Like a wide, flatter.
Yeah, thank you, Joe.
Right, okay. So, yeah.
I'm good at translating.
That would be a real deep dive for the worms to have to go up. Yeah. But the tower works because you have the trays, though. That's a space saver. Would that be more for people who don't, like you said, condos and townhomes and things like that?
Yes, and the system that I have is actually a functional piece of furniture. It's set up as a stool.
Oh. As a what? A stool?
Yeah, you can sit on it as a chair.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I could just see the therapy I would need for that. That's amazing, isn't that? Oh my good. And not telling someone once they're sitting there and saying, by the way, you're sitting on our worm condo.
I love it.
Well, okay, I just needed a minute to adapt to what
you just said. Process
oh my
that, right?
good. I did not think we were gonna go to outdoor furniture stool with the wife. I thought it needed to be somewhere. I actually, you know what I thought, Kathy? I thought that the worms needed to be in a round bin with a handle and we needed to turn them. That was my vision.
Oh, that's interesting. No, they don't even like those turning composters.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that because that's really what I thought before this conversation. I thought that's what was best for the worms so that they can get through it all. And I'm thinking, would that make them dizzy?
Yes, it would.
Okay. All right. Good. So that's a really clear picture. Is it okay with you if we talk a little bit more about like two of your other businesses while we have some time?
Yes, please.
Okay. Can we we'll just touch on that like real quickly. Because I see the time and yes. Okay. So first, let's talk a little bit about laughter. C- Can you tell us how that became part of your life in your yoga?
I would absolutely love that. So, you know, selling worms by the pound has not always been an easy task. Sure. So the word worm has a negative connotation, right? Can of worms, computer viruses or worms, okay, worm is bad. So there's a lot of, I imagine you can imagine, the comments that I get, I'm actually amazed that people feel that they can say whatever they want to me because of their fear of worms. So when I say I have worms, then they say, oh, ooh, worms, or they tell me about their experiences with worms. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So in order to help me stay on track, I mean, I'm an empath and I'm a sensitive entity. So every time somebody said, you know, ooh, about worms or whatever, I was like, oh, how am I going to put worms in every place if people are afraid of them or they think they're gross or icky? And so I was introduced to laughter yoga and I loved it so much. It's helped me so much to stay grounded and stay focused that I became a laughter yoga teacher. I now teach it. I teach laughter yoga. It's incorporated into my worm workshops. But I also do a separate, you know, before COVID, I was going into long-term care, doing laughter yoga with folks with dementia. So beautiful. Working with folks with special needs. I had a monthly arrangement with L'Arche Daybreak, and I would go working with folks with autism and whatnot. Mm. So beautiful. You know, if you're nonverbal, it must be really challenging. As Chatty Cathy, I can't even fathom the idea of not being able to communicate my message. How frustrating. So laughter has helped connect the staff with the client. And as I said, it's helping me to keep on. And I know that when I'm talking about worms and somebody says, ew, worms, or they say some negative comments, I know that's not my stuff. But it still affects me.
Well, Cathy, I appreciate you sharing that with us. There's so many things that we all want to know about one another. So I'm thinking what we will do in our show notes is we're going to put all the ways that people can reach you and speak with you, because I think speaking with you personally will be the best way for someone to know about your businesses and what you do and how you can integrate them. And Cathy, now is a really good time, and what do you think, Dr. Energy, to talk about this? So many things came up for me, no pun intended. Cathy, would you like to share with us what came up for you in today's episode for our BU final moment, please?
Yes, thank you. For my BU final moment, I just want to say thank you so much for sharing your thoughts about, like, your fear of the worms and that you want to do this, but you don't know how to get over it, and that you thought it was going to be in a churning composter. I mean, I realize, you know, when you know so, when you've been in something so long, you know so much about it. I need to come from a beginner's brain when I'm talking about it. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for being so kind in what you said. I'll elaborate on that when it's my turn. Dr. Energy, would you like to share your BU final moment with us?
Absolutely. So as I mentioned earlier, the Red Wigglers brought me back to a time when I was a little younger and just made me laugh. So, and I love chatting with you, Cathy, because you bring laughter to the room. It seems to follow you in. And we've known each other, I'm thinking 15 or so years, something like that. And that's how I always remember you, smiling and laughing. And I love that you've been able to incorporate that and bring that into your business even more so. And it's such a blessing to people's lives, anybody that you come in contact with, to bring that into their lives. So thank you for bringing some laughter into the world.
Thank you.
And Rara, what's your BU final moment today?
Well, thank you for asking. Anything that has five hearts needs to be in my life. I am so sorry I have not included worms in my life sooner. Cathy, when you said that, it dawned on me that we should not fear the unknown. We should at least explore it. But Five Hearts, that's definitely something that I will explore. I'm so grateful that you're here today. My husband is going to be jumping up and down that we had this podcast today. And I know that he is going to be the first one to call you. I want to thank you so much for being here, for enlightening us. You know, we don't know how much we don't know about something. Like, I really did not understand, and I've known you for so many years, but speaking with you about it, and we have spoken in the past, but speaking with you about this today has really enlightened me that I fear not. Worms are no longer on my fear list.
Hey, yippee.
That's another TV show, right?
Yeah.
Fear is not a factor.
Right. Do not fear worms, and definitely do not fear anything that has five hearts.
Exactly.
Kathy, thank you so much. Hang out with us. We appreciate you, and we look forward to more of what you're doing.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Sharing is caring. Tell your friends about Conversations Worth Having on BU Network. We really appreciate your reviews, and you can do that on Apple Podcasts. Thank you.
For show notes and links, go to www.bu.network/podcasts. Connect with us via our website, www.bu.network, and build a relationship with us. Sign up to receive information, updates, and your free video training at www.bu.network/pro.
We're looking forward to hearing from you. And thank you for being with us. Ciao.
Ciao, babies.